v. Labs, Mr. Threlkell, or Ms. Threlkell. As the case may be, Mr. Threlkell.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Brian Threlkeld. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois.
It's a really strange appeal. Why doesn't he want to participate in the program?
The issue is not whether or not...
I'm asking you a question. I answer my question, then you can say something else if you want.
He has not stated to me why he wants to. Even if he had, he hasn't.
Is he aware of the long list of sanctions for non-participation?
I would guess that that his counselor in the Bureau of Prisons has advised him of that. But again, he hasn't. In terms of what he and I have discussed.
Well, have you reminded him of this? They look really draconian.
He has been, I've advised him fully of everything, Judge. But in terms of what he wants, he has not authorized me to discuss the contents of our conversations with each other.
And this appeal originated as an Anders no merit. Is that right? Did you file?
I did not. No, I did not.
But predecessor counsel filed an Anders no merit on this. Isn't that right?
No, Your Honor.
No?
Although...
So it wasn't us who told you to brief this issue? That's what I'm getting at.
Well, that's correct, and I might have filed an Anders brief, but when my attention was drawn to the Gamona Mayo case, I realized that if I filed an Anders brief, that this court would, following that reasoning, would say no, there is a non-frivolous issue.
What about a harmless error?
The government argues that that there was harmless error because he must show that he was compelled to participate in the IFRP. I can't see how one could possibly make that showing on the basis of the record. What the government
is. But the oral sentence, the oral sentence ordered him to do this, but the written didn't?
The written is ambiguous. Taking the written alone...
What's ambiguous about it?
It just doesn't make a definite statement on whether or not it's required. It says all criminal monetary penalty payments, except those payments made through the Bureau of Prisons Inmate Financial Responsibility Program, are to be made as directed by the court, his or her supervising probation officer, or the United States attorney. It does not certainly directly countermand the...
Is that standard boilerplate?
It looks like it. Yeah. But it certainly doesn't countermand what the district court stated at the oral pronouncement of sentencing, which is the controlling element here.
But what is it you envisage as a remedy here? that the defendant be dragged back into court and have an oral resentencing?
Well, as about 50 minutes ago, Judge Sykes indicated, with what may be seen as a housekeeping detail like this, that probably wouldn't be necessary. A video conference could be arranged from his Bureau of Prisons facility, and the judge simply say I was wrong to...
But this is a resentencing. It's governed by Rule 43, isn't it?
Presumably, yes.
Well, that sounds sort of ridiculous. Why the judge brings him back to be resentenced, and would he have further allocution and another hearing?
Well, yes, it would be burdensome, and that might well be very strong incentive not to make this sort of mistake in the future.
All right, so the judge will be held up to ridicule by being forced to resentence him and acknowledge his error.
I don't know that that's the only solution, but in any case, we're limited to the fact that an error occurred here. There's really no way on the
what
record for us to prove
that it was prejudicial. In the sentencing hearing, well, you know, if I can't, I made a mistake, but I'll have to re-examine the whole sentence from the ground up. And if I can't give you this sanction, if I'm forbidden to impose this sanction, I mean, maybe I should give you a longer prison sentence.
I think that in this case, it'd be a limited remand for correction.
Why? Why?
Of that point.
Can you tell a judge, I mean, suppose a judge sentences someone to 10 years in prison and $1 million fine, and then the Court of Appeals says, no, you can't fine a person in this kind of case, zero fine. Doesn't the judge have to reconsider the sentencing from the ground up? He sentenced him to only 10 years, we'll say, on the premise that there'd be this huge fine. Now he's told he can't have the fine. So doesn't he have to reexamine the length of the prison sentence?
In that case, if the fine were tossed out the window, yes, but there's no proposal
here. Why isn't it true here?
Because there's no proposal that the restitution be tossed out the window. Just that.
Yeah, but the judge, for whatever reason, suppose the judge thinks it's terribly important that these inmates accept responsibility, and if they suppose he thinks this program is very, very important, part of the rehabilitation of these criminals, and therefore, if he can't force a person to go through the program, he's going to have to consider a longer sentence.
The judge doesn't have the authority to believe that he has. He doesn't have the authority to believe that he has that choice. He may not impose. No, he may.
You're not following my question. The judge thinks mistakenly that he can force this person into the program. He thinks that's great. Suppose he said, I'm going to force you into this program. It's terrific rehabilitation. And as a result of forcing you to take that program, I can give you a lighter prison sentence because I'm more confident about your rehabilitation. Now we tell the judge, no, that was illegal. You can't force him into the program. Then the judge might say, well, that shows, rehabilitation is less likely, so I'm going to resentence him and give him a longer sentence.
No, I don't think
that. Why not?
Because as Your Honor has noted, there are the Bureau of Prisons has sanctions if the defendant chooses not to participate in this, and those sanctions are where the enforcement or the encouragement to take part in this should come from.
But let's say we remanded to the judge. We have had number of cases where it was a very big mistake, to have the remand, because the judge has given far greater sentences.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know, what my client's position would be on that.
Well, did you tell him that if there's a resentencing, he could get a heavier sentence?
Told him I've advised him of all the possible outcomes. But in this case, we feel that the judge made a simple, straightforward mistake here.
Fine. Made a mistake. And then the question is, what happens when there's a resentencing?
Well, Judge, my client had the option to dismiss his appeal voluntarily or to continue his appeal, and he wanted to maintain his appeal. And so there we are. The judge has made a mistake. That's what I have before me.
I don't recall what the prison sentence was. How long is it? Do you recall? If you don't worry about it. Don't waste time.
Well, it's...
It's there somewhere, so...
Yes.
30 months?
Yes, followed by 3 years supervised release.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Drelkow. Ms. Wesley?
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Lisa Wesley for the United States. It's clear that the district court made a mistake in ordering that in its oral pronouncement and indicating that the defendant had to participate in the IFRP. However, the written judgment, as has already been discussed, did not reflect that. And in this case, while there was plainly an error, it did not affect the defendant's substantial rights. It didn't affect the service of his sentence in this case. He was not compelled by the judgment of conviction to participate in the program. And even if the court believed that his substantial rights were affected...
Well, what would you like us to do then?
I would ask that you affirm the judgment and sentence in this case, Your Honor.
And state that the written sentence supersedes the oral? What would we say?
That the error here was harmless, Your Honor, and that the judgment and sentence should be affirmed because...
Well, what are we affirming then? What are we affirming?
It would have to be the written judgment then, Your Honor.
Is it clear that the written judgment... Mr. Threlkeld suggests the written judgment is ambiguous, maybe.
I don't believe that it is. I'm not sure if you have it.
Is it boilerplate in all these judgments?
I couldn't say that it's boilerplate. I know that in Germano Mayo, the judgment is much different, and it does definitively state that the defendant must participate in the IFRP. In Lab's judgment...
How do we know that the Bureau of Prisons officials aren't going to look to the oral pronouncement and there's that whole list of horribles?
Well, there has to be a transcript. The transcript wasn't prepared until the appeal was filed in this case, and so I don't imagine that the Bureau of Prisons would request the transcript in this case.
But what if they... I mean, we can, you know... Look, we can imagine. Do you think that we ought to remand?
No, I'm sorry. Are you finished?
Well, I mean, you know, there's no question that the rule is that the oral pronouncement controls over the written judgment in the case of a discrepancy. We have Mr. Threlkeld saying that, you know, there's a discrepancy. We have you saying there is no discrepancy.
No, I didn't say there wasn't a discrepancy. I did agree that...
I'm sorry. We have you saying that the Bureau of Prisons isn't going to do anything about the discrepancy. They're going to just let him alone.
I would believe so. I can't imagine that they would request the transcript at this point.
The problem is, you're not really arguing a harmless error.
Yeah.
It's a real error, and it forces him into this program. What you're saying is we can correct the error. We don't have to bother to order him resentenced. That's what you're saying.
If that's
it is a consequential error. It forces him into a program illegally. That's a real error. Maybe trivial, but it's a real error. But as I say, you say we can just correct it. We'll just tell everybody if ignore the oral sentence, right? That's what you want us to do.
Essentially, that is what I'm asking you to do.
So should we do that in all cases down the line?
No, I don't believe so.
Well,
but I believe
won't this be, you know, one of those, I used this expression earlier, but slippery slopes? I mean, won't all the other... lawyers that come in here point to United States versus Labs and say, well, you did it there. You just ought to keep doing it.
See, what we do with sentencing appeals, if we're confident that the judge, although he made a mistake, would give the same sentence and would be a proper sentence, then it is really a harmless error. We say we're not going to interfere with the sentence because although it rested on a mistaken premise, you know, it's perfectly good because the judge would have given the same sentence if he hadn't made the mistake. But now you're suggesting, and Judge Rovner, you know, I think it's identifying a real problem, that what we should do is we just correct sentences, right? We think the judge made a mistake in the sentence. We give the sentence. We do the sentence.
Our jails would be empty if I could do it.
Well, it could be in this case, Your Honors, that the court recognized its error. It did submit a amended judgment of conviction. I'm not sure whether or not that changed.
I don't think it's even in the government's interest, because if his prison sentence was only 30 months, the judge could say, look, you know, I'm really disturbed by this person. I can't make him do this rehabilitation program, and he refuses, and that makes me really worried about his future. So I think my 30 months was too low in light of that. And I would think that would be perfectly appropriate for the judge to say, I gave him this low sentence. Wasn't this bank robbery?
Interstate commerce to commit arson, Your Honor.
I gave him this light sentence because of this rehabilitation program. There are judges who believe in rehabilitation and might think this very important. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Wesley. And Mr. Threlkeld, do you have anything further?
Okay.
Well, we thank the defenders for your efforts on behalf of your
client.
And the court will be in recess.